Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, just like fire, shut up in my bones. I was just back here getting my Holy Ghost praise dance on, celebrating our God. This is that ongoing, continuous Resurrection Sunday celebration. We just celebrated, commemorated, memorized, and memorialized our Lord Jesus the Christ, stepping out of the grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave in his hand, showing his omnipotent power as the God-man, as the Messiah. So I'm still vibing off of that Resurrection Sunday. I make no apologies. I make no excuses. I'm a new creature created in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit, sanctified, blood washed, fire baptized, and loving God every day. Praise the Lord to you, you, and you. Welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to this omnipotent God who is the very essence of love himself. If you don't know that, you need to keep listening, you need to keep searching, and you need to keep praying and ask God to reveal himself to you, because he'll do it just like countless numerous others throughout human history before you and I even existed, that he will prove himself to be the almighty loving God that he is. Now is the time, beloved, to let our mind, body, and souls be refreshed in our relationship with this beautiful creator God and his precious son, our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly declared to be the only true Savior, the only Messiah, the only Lamb of God that is acceptable to remove the sin stain off of man, woman, boy, and girl for those who confess and believe. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, here to bring you the most uplifting biblical inspiration, motivations, as well as some of the most uplifting and anointed gospel music ever made and ever played. I have proof. You all know by now, you've been listening to this program, that I have been blessed with some of the most anointed gospel artists, friends that continuously send this anointed music to make this show hot with fire, for real. Talk about spiritual fire. Fire is the broadcast that will light, ignite, and fan the flames in your spirit, man, woman, boy, girl, so you can be a victorious believer in Jesus Christ. There's no compromise. There's no turning around. There's no quitting. We will move forward because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We will be embracing for our spiritual uplift and motivation from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, where we hear our Lord Jesus sharing of a future heavenly event, where there will be choices declared by the Almighty One. He will decide where each soul will spend their eternity based on our earthly decisions. What are we really doing for Jesus? Our Lord Jesus declared that his love and care must seen and put into action. My special guest is here, woman of God. I promise you, we're going to have a good time. We will be embracing for our spiritual encouragement from the thought, the least of these. That's what the Bible declares in Matthew 25, 34, and 40. My special guest is here, a beautiful woman of God in spirit. I'm telling you, laboring out there for real, author, filmmaker, and just people, ministry CEO, woman of God, Justina McFadden is here. She's going to bless us with all of her wonderful testimonies about the vision and the purpose and destiny that God has placed in her heart and in her life. And then later on in the broadcast, on this special resurrection broadcast, we will be blessed by a woman of God who is founder and CEO of Christians Got Talent. We already know they got talent because they got anointed. Talking about woman, as well as the CEO and founder of Skyla Studio A. Woman of God, Skyler Caldwell, is going to bless us with word of inspiration. So go ahead and call those family members and friends, co-workers, anybody that comes to your mind right now that you know can use a good word of inspiration as we uplift our God. Give him his just due praise, worship. I don't wait till Sunday. I don't have to go to church. I can praise God wherever I stand, wherever I sit, wherever I be. I can take time to honor my God. We've already had prayer. Holy Spirit, God, we thank you for overseeing our lives and our ministries, for leading and guiding us, and for lighting the fuse that's about to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire.
All I have to do is do your will.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, you just got the formula for victory. If you want to know how to get over those hurdles, those trials, those tribulations, well, you just heard it from woman of God, Robin McGee. All you got to do is just call on the name of Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Man, that's the way we like to start our fire gospel experience off, right there, right there. Just hit the ground running. Ain't no time for warming up. We're going to do this thing under the influence of Holy Spirit God. My special guest is here, also woman of God, author, filmmaker, and she is the CEO and prophetess of Just People Ministries, as well as CEO of Scribe Conversation, originally out of Brooklyn, New York, and now residing in L.A., Los Angeles, California. You can't beat that. Go from one big city to another big city. So, you know, she is down for the town. It doesn't matter. I believe that she knows what it's like dealing with folks from all avenues. So without any further ado, it's me great pleasure to introduce my special guest, woman of God, none other than Justina McFadden is here on Fire, the Gospel Experience.
How are you?
Blessings, woman of God. Blessings. Thank you for joining us here on this Fire Gospel Experience. How are you doing?
I am well. Glory to God. Happy Monday. Thanks for having me.
Amen. Amen. It's our pleasure to have you. Glory to God in the highest. Man, we just got through with a worldwide celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And let me tell you this before we get into your story and your testimony. I heard a phenomenal message by Dr. Miles Monroe, and he declared, he said so many beautiful things in that sermon. Oh, my God, he blessed me so, and I am just still full, and I'm still running off of that because, you know, the things that he shared in that sermon just fed my spirit, and it just gave me more reason to appreciate the significance of our Savior. He said in that, one of the main things that he said in that is he said that all of the other religions in the world have this one opposition. No other world religious leader, historically speaking, can make the claim that the founder actually died to remove the sin, the disobedience, the rebellious spirit, and the penalty of that sin of disobedience that we inherited from our forefather Adam and Eve. Buddha couldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it. Mahavakrishna couldn't do it. But our God is the only religious leader that claimed his death, his sacrificial death, was the open door for us all to have freedom from the penalty and sin and open the doors for eternal kingdom, eternity with our God. And I said, you know what? I kind of knew that in the back of my mind, but when I heard him say that, it just stamped and made a deeper impression for my love for God and my love for Jesus even more. We have a unique God like none other, and we celebrated him. I'm sure many church doors were open probably for the first time, even with the COVID restrictions going on in some time. Now, I know I had the opportunity to go back to my church, and I had been there for almost all. It's been about a year, so quite natural I was happy to be there. But we are happy to have you here. I just needed to share that because I sense a spirit in you, woman of God, where you just have taken Jesus Christ so seriously in your life that you have made a life commitment and a lifetime labor of love in Jesus. So would you please just go ahead and share with myself and my listeners about who you are as a woman of God, and then we'll talk about the accomplishments and the ministry work that you're doing in Jesus. Tell us a little bit about woman of God, Justina McFadden. Where did all of your faith in Jesus begin?
Amen. And thank you so much, I was going to say, for your testimony yesterday. And so true what Dr. Miles Monroe said. I think that if you're getting, you know, persecuted, you're doing something right. And that comes with being a follower of Christ. That's why the Bible says if you, you know, love your life, you will lose it. And that's essentially what it does mean. So thanks so much for sharing that. My faith comes from, you know, my past. And I have a really strong faith and belief in God and a belief in my dreams. And kind of knew since I was a kid, I was fortunate enough to know my purpose since about 7, 8 years old. So I always knew I would be a writer. I just didn't see how it would happen because I grew up with a learning disorder, and I still have it to this day. But glory to God, you know, more than a conqueror. So
Amen.
My faith just
becomes
because, you know, when God came in my life, I really did need a savior. I was 23 years old at the time. I was raised Muslim. Parents were Muslim. I was born a Muslim. That's all I knew. That was what I grew up in that faith. And it was a very restrictive type of, I would say, religion in that, you know, you face the east, you pray 5 times a day, you eat a kosher diet, you eat halal food.
Yeah.
But there really was no connection. There was no source for me. There was no relationship. And it's something about the number 8 and the age of 8 when I knew I would be a writer. And that was also the year I just knew in my spirit innately that I was not supposed to be a Muslim. And I knew that what I was being taught was false for me. It was rejected by my spirit, even at a young age. So I didn't know why, I didn't know how, but I just know I didn't believe. So I would say these phrases in Arabic, and I would face the east and go to, you know, do my thing, but I just never felt anything. And then I think, like, other circumstances as well in childhood kind of maybe tied into me feeling like I don't even think this is right for me, or growing up in impoverished areas and seeing lack and struggle and things of that nature. So long and short of it is when Christ came in my life, I just really needed a savior, my God. And I never knew you could feel that type of joy. I used to call it a commercial type of happiness when you turn on a television and you see a commercial and everyone's smiling and they're happy and they're gleeful and they're joyful. And that's what I wanted, and I didn't have that until Christ came in my life. It's been about 18 years of my walk, and as my previous pastor used to say, A.R. Bernard, with CCC, Christian Cultural Center, he used to always tell us, and he would say that your relationship with God, when you come to Christ, it's not an event, it's a journey. So my walk
the last
18 years, 2 decades, if you will, man, has it been a journey, but I learned a lot. Been through a lot, and the Lord has never left my side, and I love Jesus. Like you said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
No,
you know, the word
no.
says, if you deny me in front of man, I'll deny you in front of my Father. So, you know, even when I'm winning Oscars and things of that nature, I will be that Jesus freak, as they call it, on the podium, giving God glory, even at the Oscars, because I'm not ashamed of my past. I'm not ashamed to say I love Jesus, and hey, here's what he did for me, and here's what he can do for you, and that's I believe part of the reason why God chose me to run Just People Ministry School Outreach, which we'll probably get into a little bit later. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, I can see and claim another beautiful connection because among some of the most dynamic men and women that are pastors, preachers, and teachers of Holy Gospel, A.R. Bernard had become one of my mentors. I'm happy to claim that and let you know. I first became aware of him when he did an interview with Oprah Winfrey. And my God, he made such a profound impact on me. His ability to translate and communicate with such clarity the word of God, it was like music to my ears. And so quite naturally, I went on Facebook, I went to his channel, and he became such a beautiful man of God in my life. So my God, if you don't know about A.R. Bernard, you need to go ahead and look him up. That is a profound man of God. So I can see your background roots are very deep, very indoctrinated. Amen. Tell us a little bit.
And I went to 4 different churches in my life, and that was one of them. I went to that church for 8 years, but I learned something at each church that I went to, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later on, but yeah, I learned something at each church. I learned something at Bible school. I learned something at chaplaincy school, but most of my church experiences were good, but the thing that was missing from my church experience, I would always bring that to God, and it was a desire of my heart to really feed the poor and to lead with that. That's what I wanted to do in ministry. So there was one church that kind of did that the most, and I had that experience of 4 years, and I met another CEO of another big ministry worldwide at that church, coincidentally, and that's what really put the passion in my heart for JPMGO, which is Just People Ministries Global Outreach. But yeah, shout out to A.R. Bernard and Christian Cultural Center. I'm with on and off for about 8 years when I lived in New York City, and I lived in New York for 30 years. But yeah, he was the first pastor I met that would talk about Christ with culture. And what I loved about that is that he basically brought biblical times into a modern type of society. And just where the church is located, the intentionality of it, I just loved it. He has a lot of wisdom, and I learned a lot from being under his leadership for those times. So.
Amen. 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 You're so right. Shout out, Pastor A.R. Bernard. We love you in Jesus, man. We're praying for your ministry, your church family. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. We love you in Jesus. Tell us a little bit, because I heard what you said, and I can identify, Lady Justina, that how all of our past experiences have in one way or another contributed to us maybe finding our purpose. And I can appreciate who you are in Christ. You have been blessed with some phenomenal success in your particular expertise. You're an author, you're a filmmaker, and then you became your own CEO, overseer, of Just People Ministries. And I have had visions, and we have had conversations about our past blending in so many seasons of our lives together. So tell us about how these things came to be. Was it the desire to write that led you to become an author? Was it your desire and your training in filmmaking? Tell us about how one led to another.
Right. So, and great question, man of God. And I think what's important is that, you know, for your listeners to understand is that God will put a dream in your heart. It's just a seed, you know, and that seed was planted, you know, luckily before I was even 10 years old, I knew I would be a writer. I had a gift for writing. But you have to water the seed. You have to water it. Nurture it, you know, you have to plow. It's a lot of work involved, and it's not what it looks like on the outside. And sometimes you'll see a huge tree and you'll say, wow, it's so beautiful, but no one saw the seed when it was first planted. So at 8 years old, we had an assignment in my third grade class. I was at TS 73 in Brooklyn, and Ms. Smith, who was my third grade teacher, you know, I was failing miserably in third grade. You know, I had a very challenging home life at that time, so it was kind of spilling off into my academia. But I will say this, that Ms. Smith, she gave us a book assignment one weekend, and she said, come, you know, write a 5-page book report. I came back that Monday with a book. This is 8 years old, I kid you not. The anointing was all over my hands. I just, my mind just went off, and I started seeing characters, and I'll never forget, because that article made it into, I believe, the Daily News at that time in the newspaper. And even though nothing happened to it, there was really no celebration. But I remember the excitement in the teacher's eyes. And she was just like, Justina, where did you learn to write like that? And I was like, I don't know. I just like to write. I like to make the characters. So the characters would help me escape my reality at that time and during my home life and the things that I was experiencing at home. So I will never forget when I won first place for that, it really triggered something in me. And every time I needed to escape a reality, I would just make characters. So I began at that age. My mom had gotten me 32 encyclopedias, the Americana brand, at 8 years old. And she was a single mom at the time. She didn't have much money, but she would buy me books. And how I was punished, I was punished just like Oprah Winfrey with books. If I did something bad, read an entire book. I mean, it's 200 pages. You have 5 to 7 days to read the entire book and then come back with a report. So it was really me, like, my brain was very sharpened. I think by probably 7th grade, I was reading at college level, to be candid. But to piggyback a little bit, I had dyslexia, but that was, like, in 1988. They didn't have the resources they have now. I didn't have a name to it. I just know that I spoke differently. I had a slight speech impediment. And I also had this dyslexia. I would write words backwards. I would read things backwards. And that was just the way my brain kind of worked. But for somehow, when I would write, I would just write kind of like in a normal way. And I understood things in a normal way. And I loved to read and write. Like, I liked books. So my mom purchased me those encyclopedias. And I would just look things up in the encyclopedia, and then I would look things up in the dictionary. We didn't have a television either. I wasn't allowed to watch TV as a kid. So I always had to use my mind, my creativity. Mm. I don't even own a TV till this day because most of us, we don't think for ourselves. We don't read our Bible. We just go, let me watch something on YouTube or let me listen to what somebody else thinks, you know. But if I just relied on my mind and the wisdom of the Lord, I think that takes you, in my opinion, a lot further. So, and at that age as well, my mom got me 10 Black History books. And I'll never forget, I was reading all the books. So when I got to Langston Hughes, it was like 100-page Black History book. And I started reading it, and he had this poem in there. And that's the age as well when I fell in love with poetry. And he had this famous poem called A Dream Deferred. And I'll never forget what it said. It said, "What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sat like a heavy load, or does it explode?" So when I read that, I was like, wow, what does the word deferred mean? So I had to look that up in the dictionary. This is at 8, I kid you not.
Right, right.
So I'm looking up in the dictionary, and it says the defer means to be delayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, wow. So that means don't delay your dreams. I don't know. And like, just from there, like, it was more hard things and more hard times. And my childhood kind of felt like I was in prison. That's literally how I felt with my spirit. What I remember what saved me was I just knew I was going to be a writer one day. And I was like, all I have to do is just make it to 18. I just got to make it. I got to survive it and make it. And I did. But that's kind of where it comes from. And it's not like a sad story. I think the tragedy that happens to us most is that, for example, in Joel 2:25, the Bible says, he says, "I will repay you for the years that the locust has eaten." So the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm. "My great army that I sent among you," right? So the angels are always with us, right? That God has assigned to our life. So I think the tragedy only happens is if you have something really bad happen to you. You have an awful experience, and then you stop. No matter what happened, I never stopped. I never stopped. I never stopped writing. I never stopped believing. So my point is that the seed was planted at 8, but it was just like, how in the world am I going to be an international bestseller and all the things God would show me if I have this learning disorder, dyslexia? And when I'm talking about very challenging in terms of the educational department, I was held back 3 times in school. And I write this in my book, Life is a Lobster, which is my first best-selling book. It's a motivational book about finding your purpose through Christ. But I compare life to an expensive lobster because what God did on the cross, our Lord Jesus, was an expensive course. Amen. So it was kind of like saying, I have this seed, right? I have this gift, but I'm in the poorest neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York. I'm dyslexic. I'm poor. You know, I'm from house to house, home to home. It's not looking too good, but I don't see how the finish line is going to get there. I don't even see how it's going to happen, but I actually had a lot of faith before I even knew the word faith. I didn't even know about the word faith. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to talk about God, to God in terms of a relationship, but I just knew I had a gift. So, you know, I was left back 3 times. 3 times in my life. I didn't even go to 4th grade. I didn't learn fractions or mathematical stuff. I mean, when I say serious educational challenges I had to overcome, I did. And on top of the dyslexia, I was insecure because I had a speech impediment. So I slurred certain words. I didn't enunciate well. But, you know, glory to God, when I was living with my grandmother in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn section, I was like 13 years old at the time, and I was a very slim kid. I had a gift for running. Started running track when I was 11, and I love to go for long walks, and I love to jog, and I love to be alone, like most writers, because we are thinkers, we're creators, and I just love being alone. I didn't want anyone to cramp my style. So I had a lot of friends, but I remember one day I was walking on Fulton Street in Brooklyn by Nostrand, and then I saw another sign, and this sign was a poem, and they used to sell things. The pianola was there. And sell different, you know, things on the corner. And there was another sign there, and it was about a dream. And I love poetry, and I love to read about dreams. And I'll never forget, I don't even know the name of the author, but I remember what it said. It says something like, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trundling seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, When care is pressing you down a bit, rest a few months, but don't you quit. Life is short with its twists and turns, as every one of us will sometimes learn. And something about, like, end of life, he may have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace is slow. You might succeed with another blow. So stick to your fight, which your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. So I'm chilling, and I'm walking, and I'm writing, and I'm reading stuff. I didn't have any money on me. I was, like, 13 years old at the time. So I'm walking down the block. Now, that's on Fulton and Nostrand. So one block up is Marcy in Fulton. So at the end, it's, like, right by my old junior high school, and it's, like, about 15 blocks from Marcy Projects, where famous people like Jay-Z grew up. That's the area I'm from, when Brooklyn was really Brooklyn, like when Biggie was still alive, and Brooklyn was just wild at that time. So think about it. So I'm at one block. I'm at Nostrand and Fulton. I walk one block up. I'm at Marcy now, right, in Fulton Street. And guess what's there? It's a theater. And it's called the Billie Holiday Theater. And there was a big line outside. And I was ready. I never was a shy kid. So I just went up to someone in the line and said, hey, what's going on here? And he said, oh, it's auditions for a play. I said, oh, word? So I'm about to walk away. And out of nowhere, this black woman named Miss Moon, she said, hey, what's your name? And I said, she was a doctor. Her name was Dr. Moon, which I called her Miss Moon. I said, I'm Justina. Like, and I was kind of like very a young kid from Brooklyn, very aggressive. So I was like, what's up? Like, what you want? You know? Because I wasn't trusting because I had like a rough childhood. And I was like, what's good? Right. Like, I didn't do it. I didn't steal it. What you want? I didn't do it, you know? And the long and short of it, she had me come in on the spot. She was a director for that that basically organization for the theater part of the Billie Holiday Theater. So I went inside. I auditioned with a speech impediment with dyslexia on the spot, 13 years old, skinny, light-skinned kid, pale, red hair, freckles, hated the way I looked because I didn't look like other black kids. And I got the spot on a – I got hired on a spot, my first job. An off-Broadway play at 13 years old. And it was there that I was trained by Earl Fields, who used to train Denzel Washington. And I got trained with him, and I couldn't even say the word thief. I'll never forget. I couldn't enunciate certain words, and he would catch it. Now, he still didn't give me the name of this disorder I had, called dyslexia, but he would just, instead of making fun of me and adding to my insecurities, he actually would teach me how to enunciate words and how to speak. So I got the lead role in a play called Do or Die. And that's where I learned acting and how to speak and enunciate my words and the fourth wall. And from there, my confidence just really skyrocketed. But I still didn't publish my first piece of work until I was 18. But yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Miracle signs
and
wonders is what the Bible says, right? So God kept showing
me
at 8, a dream deferred, but length in hues. And here's another sign. I'm on walking in the hood.
Yeah.
I don't see wealth around me. I still know I have this dream, and God intentionally sends me in front of a sign that told me not to give up. One block later, I meet Miss Moon, who hires me for my first job.
Yeah.
As an actress in an off-Broadway play.
Amen.
Where does that happen?
Yeah. Amen. Well, God has a way, like we discussed earlier, of taking different times, circumstances, even the harsh times of our life, because you spoke about reading being your escape, and you can see now how in reflection that led you to where you are now. But guess what? I had a very dysfunctional family growing up. It was just an older brother of mine. Thank God we made our peace. And my mother, single parent mother, raised, God rest her soul, she's with the Lord now, but it was a very dysfunctional upbringing. It was a dysfunctional time for me. I cried bitter tears because I just couldn't understand why God put me with these unhappy people. So my escape was music. I got a little bitty radio, and I would go in my room, close the door, because I felt unloved, unwanted by my own people. Think about the pain of that. You talked about how challenging and difficult it was for your upbringing. I can identify with that, and there are listeners out there, woman of God, that can identify with that too, because the devil is out to try to separate us from the joy of the Lord, and he believes that if he just surrounds our life with tragedy, with heartache, that we'll just give up, and then when God doesn't answer our prayers, when we think he should, that we'll just do like so many people say, ah, God doesn't love me. He doesn't care. He's just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But we are calling out the lies of the devil because, listen, listeners, God loves you. He is allowing certain things in your life, just like woman of God Justina McFadden has shared, and just like I have shared on this broadcast repeatedly, that God only allows challenging times to draw us to him. And then like man of God Gene Moore, guess what? After we make that move to God, we will not be moved.
Yo, what's good? I'm ready to do this. Got the tunnel vision. It's time.
Are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away, playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Amen, amen. Fire, the gospel experience. We are that evangelistic outreach ministry on the internet radio, honoring our God, giving him his just due praise, not just with our lips, but with our hearts. We are acknowledging God as the creator of all things known and unknown. And his precious, beautiful son, Jesus the Christ, came and visited us. And just like man of God, gospel artist Gene Moore just got through singing to y'all, we shall not be moved, so don't even try it because we ain't going nowhere. We're here with my special guest, woman of God, Justina McFadden. She is sharing with you all the miraculous work and ways of how God has introduced himself in her life and influenced her to be the woman of God that she is right now. And what I hear from you, woman of God, is that those seasons in your life have just planted seeds for you to be able to find your ministry. And I'm always imploring my special guests to share how they were able to see their purpose and destiny, because there's a lot of people that go to church and still have not fully manifested and found themselves in the body of Christ when it comes to term with laboring, when it comes to term to finding what their particulars in Christ is. You shared with us very thoroughly about your past and how it has led you to be who you are today. Share with us, because I saw the videos of the, tragic, mountainous, homeless epidemic that goes on in Los Angeles, and not just Los Angeles, but we see communities like this in particularly larger major cities, Atlanta. We can go to Houston and see some of the very same things, tent cities all over the place. But see, you're one of the ones that I love because you are frontline woman of God. You can go into the pulpit and preach God's word over at Just People Ministry, but you also take your gospel to the street. Tell us about this vibrant and very necessary ministry that you have going on, which is very much what we will be talking about later in the broadcast, where our Lord Jesus talked about the least of these that need food, that need clothing, that need shelter. They need people that have a heart to come and see about them, whether they're incarcerated or wherever they may be. Share with us about this missionary, a wonderful ministry that you have that has just led you to go right to the front lines where people are needing the help the most.
Amen. So, and glory to God. And again, thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to be here and to share my story with truth and integrity. So, you know, you heard a little bit about my upbringing and growing up in an impoverished neighborhood, you see lack, you come from lack, there's always lack and no one around you has money, but what saved me at a young age was exposure. So I love to explore. I love to run. I love to walk, especially when I was younger. And what I always did was leave my environment as much as possible. So you could just take the train anywhere. No one ever bothered me. I mean, I would just, like, to be honest, hop the train. And hopping the train in New York City when I was a kid, what that means is that you don't pay for your token and you just go through the turnstile. So
yeah.
So I would leave Bed-Stuy. I would leave, you know, I grew up in the projects and from birth to about almost 14 years old. And I would leave the projects. And I grew up in Tompkins Project, which is like, not Tompkins, like Louis Armstrong houses. It's like on Tompkins and Lexington, between like Lexington and Marcy. It's like 10 blocks from like Marcy PJ. It's a very rough area. But I would always leave and be gone for hours. And I had too much freedom as a kid looking back on it. But the freedom and the exposure saved me, because when I went to Manhattan and I went to other areas, what I noticed, what I observed was that there wasn't a liquor store on every corner. There wasn't a, we call them murals painted on the wall. That's how many people would die, you know, in my neighborhood. Like, they would just say, rest in peace, so-and-so, rest in peace, so-and-so. Or even my first boyfriend, you know, his name was Kevin, I believe. I was like a kid, 13 years old, but he was dead by the time I was 18. He got shot. So those are some of the things that I grew up around and those things that influenced me. You know, you see people, half your junior high school class are either dead, in jail, or strung out, you know. So I always knew I have to make it out, but I don't want to just make it out. I want to stay out, right? So it's chess, not checkers. So I would say exposure saves me, because when I noticed that there were traps, as I call it, in the hood, and I was like, I'm not going to fall for any of these traps. Now, let's not get it twisted. Did I do drugs as a teenager? I did. And most people, they don't keep it real. They don't be honest. And here's the thing. They just say, I'm with Christ now, right? And the Bible speaks about, you know, judging others. And the Bible speaks about looking at specks in other eyes, but not in your own. And, you know, not that rod in your own. Some people have a whole forest, an entire tree. But I don't forget my past and all the things that the Lord brought me out of. Amen. Yeah. And the reason why is because with Just People Ministries, and I'm getting to that in just a moment, I think the reason why I can go into really dark places and speak to a prostitute and speak to people. It's because all the things the Lord and the test he put me through to basically get to where we're at and where we're going, glory to God. So when I was a police officer for 10 years, by the way, in New York City, most of the people I arrested, I would say about a good 85% of them, I, in the back of my mind, thought that this person doesn't need to be arrested. They need mental health care.
Yeah.
Or they need drug abuse or a drug addiction alternative. But that's just
right.
not how the system works, come to find out. Now, I'm not sure why the Lord did it this way in my life, but everything in my life happens in 1 year, and it all happened at the same time. So, for example, the seed planted at 8, and I get all the short stories written at 8, and then I'm reading books about dreams when I'm 8. Then the same thing at 23, the year I came to Christ, the year I got saved, the year I got baptized, is also the year I was a police officer, my first year as a cop. And what I noticed, because they put me right in the hood, right out of academy,
yeah,
and I wanted to go to transit, but that's not what the Lord had me do. He had me, nope, you're going to go right to the hood. And I knew I would be a cop since I was 7. Yeah, because, again, I'm always trying to find my way out of my environment, out of my situation, out of my circumstances. And I knew, like, let's say, certain things, certain traps I saw other people fall into to stay in the hood, I was not going to fall into those traps. So I think it's about making a choice early on. And I wouldn't listen to anyone else, what they had to say or opinions or anything like that, because, no offense, they weren't happy in their own life. Even when I was a kid and you were an adult, if you're telling me what to do and I didn't think your life kind of matched up to what I wanted my life to be, I just would not listen to you, period. This is going to be as young as like 10. I would just say, why would I listen to someone if they're not following their own dreams? Because having a job or a little apartment wasn't impressive to me as a kid. I never thought how other people thought. I just said, well, that person is miserable, so I'm not going to listen to them. Or that person's always cursing or they're always angry, so I'm not going to listen to them. And they don't even have a car. They don't live how I see my life. What I'm visioning in my head, so why am I going to listen to you? But I think law enforcement was the first time I really saw the hood the way I saw it. So I lived in the hood my whole life. But when I was a police officer, you know what I'm saying? I was an educated professional, you know, done with college and undergrad, and I saw it from the hood from a different perspective. And when I started to see certain things, I would say, well, dang, you don't see this in Manhattan. You don't see this on the Upper East Side, et cetera, et cetera. So I was going through church, if you will, and I was just like most Christians that were new into it. I was excited. I was on fire for God at first, but then I lost my my fire, and I was right there on that fence, as we speak about in the book of Revelation, for a while. I was kind of lukewarm with my faith. So I would go to church, you know, on a Sunday, and I would pay my tithes. That was never an issue for me because I'm naturally a very generous person, but there has to be more. And I just felt like after a while that I was just kind of going through with emotions, and I wasn't really in my word. Like, I would read my Bible verses here and there, and I would listen to the word on Sunday, but there was something missing. You know what I mean, Ron? It was just like, there's more. So then I just started to, like, kind of study it a little bit more. And I remember in Revelation where it says, I know your deeds, Revelation 3:15, he goes, he knows your deeds. You're not hot. You're not cold. And I wish you were just either one. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold,
lukewarm,
I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And I said, well, what does that mean? Then I read on. He said, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. And I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched. You are pitiful. You are poor.
Yeah.
You are blind. And you are naked. I said, no, Lord, I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be pitiful. Oh, God, like, I don't want you to be mad at me. Like, what do you want me to do? And the Lord would tell me, I want you to teach. And I said, so let me get this straight, because I got accepted into a couple of law schools. I said, do you want me to, like, drop out of law school and get a degree in education? Like, I'm trying to understand this. And I was trying to understand what the Lord was telling me through my own understanding. Amen. Like many of us do, but I had to really seek the Lord for his wisdom and his knowledge. And so when he says a teacher of the word, I begin to read more. And in the Bible, it says he calls prophets, right? He calls some pastors. He calls some teachers. He calls some evangelists. I said, oh, you want me to teach the word? I said, well, God, I just want to feed the poor. I want to just feed your people. And he said, well, that's not enough. I want you to teach the word. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a pastor because If I'm a pastor, you know, I can't go to the club anymore. If I'm a pastor, I can't have premarital sex.
Right.
If I'm a pastor,
right.
I have to really, you know, people are going to look up to me. I don't want anyone looking up to me. It's unrealistic. I don't want anyone praising me like I'm God. And I have all these ideologies and things attached to the term pastor. So I didn't obey, but I got that word back in 2013, I would say. He would say, I want you to teach the word. So I said, boom, okay, I'll do it. So I went to Africa, and he showed me extreme poverty, like lowest level, and I was like, okay. And then everyone, my publicist at the time, I mean, I was killing it in the book game. I'm on NBC. I have an CNN report, and I'm like, yes, this is it. It's going to be lit. I'm all hype, and you know what God did? Bomb
right
away.
What?
You know why he did that?
Wow.
Because nothing happens until you obey. So in Matthew, you know, in the book of Matthew, he says, if you keep the kingdom first.
That's right.
Not in your own way, you know, in his righteousness, all, not some, but all these things will be added to you, right? So in Proverbs 16, he says, I'll commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he, meaning the Most High God, will establish your plan. So I was just like, wow, I really did not want to be a pastor, right? So I'm still doing my own thing. I'm just keeping it real, right? So, you know, I was living in Jacksonville, Florida at the time. I was under Pastor Stovall Wings with Celebration Church for 4 years straight. That was my first all-white church, all-white Christ-like experience. And it was kind of like a Hillsong kind of like musical environment. But one thing I loved about this church was the way they fed the poor. That really turned me on. It triggered something in me. They had food trucks outside every Sunday. They fed us, you know, lunch before church. They had poor people, they're seeing them after church. And then we were correlated and associated with Clara White Ministries down in Jacksonville, Florida. And the CEO of that organization, God is so intentional. If people don't get anything, got to listen to what I'm saying. God is so intentional that he intentionally had me go to that church just so I can meet this lady. Now think about it. I wanted to be a lawyer. I was like, I'm going to be a writer. You said I would be a writer, God. I don't want to be a pastor. That's not what I want to do. OMG. And he's like, just listen to me. And I'm like, okay, I'll listen. He said, just serve at this church. I mean, I was a greeter at this church. The church was a warehouse at first. I did everything. I cleaned toilets at this church. And then I got into their homeless outreach. So the CEO of Covered by Ministry was a black woman, a real sister, a dark sister. Her name was Jacoby. And I'll never forget, because remember, I wanted to be an attorney. Guess what she was? An attorney. And she was a senator, a councilwoman. Like, she was a powerful woman of God. And she was an educated woman. So God intentionally had me work under that CEO along with that ministry. And we would feed about 300 people every Sunday. So I saw it like clockwork, how to feed people. And I was like, that's what I want to do, God. That's it. I was like, see, I don't have to preach to do that. I want to do that. And God was like, but that's half of it. But I want you to do this too. So there was this other guy at the same church, same experience. So it's an all-white church. So he had a speaker one day, right? So he came there, right, this gentleman, and I'll never forget, he was a young white pastor, and he had this book, he was an author as well, and I said, oh, this is lit, and he was the CEO of something called the Dream Center, where I always wanted to live in Los Angeles, California, but at that time, I was living in Jacksonville, Florida, so the white dude comes in, he's preaching to the audience, I'm like, oh, this is okay, this is cool, this is lit, and he has this book called The Course Within. And he autographed it for me. And what he does at the Dream Center is he feeds and houses homeless people. And then when I heard that, my entire ear was like ringing. It was like the Holy Spirit. So the gentleman I met back in like 2012, 13, I was like, when I go to LA, I'm going to emulate. The Lord said, when you go to LA, you're going to emulate the Dream Center. And I said, okay, God. I said, but this guy has over 100 buildings. How am I going to purchase 100 buildings? I'm a retired cop. I don't get my pension until I'm 43, God. You know, I'm like, I make six figures, but I don't think that's enough to purchase 100 buildings. He's like, would you just listen to me? This is not my relationship with God. Like, we just speak, like, straight. He speaks to me plain and straight because that's how I speak to people and that's how my relationship with the Most High God is. So I finally get to L.A. in 2015, but I still wasn't in full obedience. I was in partial obedience. But how many people know if you delay your obedience, you're delaying your destiny? Amen. You're delaying
that's
your
right.
dream.
Amen.
So it's 2015, right? So I get accepted into film school and in law school at the same time. So I met the CEO, former CEO of Warner Brothers at the time, Hal Lieberman, who was over the entertainment business department at LA Film School. Shout out to Kalani, who got me into the film school. Shout out to Hal Lieberman. And I went into the ED program, which is entertainment business, right? So I'm like, it's going to be lit. I'm finally going to have my dream come true. So I came to LA with $440 to my name. you know, but the reason why that didn't scare me is because I just believed in my promise. So I had a $900 card that I purchased from someone. I had my dream boards in the back, and I had clothes. That's all I had with me.
Okay.
That's it. See, you know what happened when I got to LA?
Amen. What happened?
You want to know what happened? Okay. So I got here December 2015, right? I'm accepted into film school. I start film school. I'm a 4.0 GPA because I can write my tail off. I never even took a writing class in my life. It's just a gift from the Most High God. Never.
Amen.
So I'm chilling, you know, and I have my own insurance business at the time. So I'm making a consistent, decent amount of money in Florida with my insurance business. I get out to L.A., guess what happened? Boom, falls apart. So I had a six to three-month bout with homelessness when I first got to L.A. And a lot of people don't know that, but now they'll know that. So you know what I did?
Yeah.
I slept in my car one night, and I never forget. I was across the street from this really fancy hotel. And I remember because Drake was performing that night, and it was like February 2016, and the Grammys, it was Grammy week, and everything was lit. And in the car, in the back, all I have is my dream boards, and I have all my stuff on my dream boards. And that night, I had a dream while sleeping in the car, and the Lord showed me on red carpet. He showed me with cameras, lights, cameras, acting, showed me the whole shebang. So when I woke up, my direct deposit hit from my insurance claims that I had sold. And you know what I did while I was sleeping in my car? I tithed. Crazy, right? But the Bible says if you lend to
Amen.
The poor, right?
He says,
test me. If I'm a tester, I'm a test God. It says, see if I'm poor and a blessing, right? Because you want you have room enough, right? So I tithe. Bam.
That's right.
The next day, I get a banging place, you know, with roommates in West Hills in a really nice part of L.A. Not even a year later from that promise, I won 2 film festivals for my first short film that I wrote it. I directed
Beautiful.
It and I produced it, and I had the
Amen.
Opening at the Chinese Theater.
That's beautiful.
But it gets better,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Lord was like, Christina, you're still not doing what I told you to do.
Okay.
He's like, I want you to drop out of law school. I want you to drop film. And I mean, when I say I was killing it, man of God, I was killing it in film. And I was like,
Amen.
You want me to do what? And I was like, Lord, everything is happening right now. And it's like, I'm lit.
Amen.
I was like, I just want to film festivals. Everybody, they want me. And this is, oh my God, this is my dream. And he said, do it, Justina. And
Amen.
I promise you, not only will I give it back, you're going to skip the line. You're going to skip everyone. So
Amen.
I get married to
Amen.
The wrong person. That's another story for another radio station. But even in that wrong person that I married, something good came through it because that person was on fire for God, and so was I. So he's like, let's go to chaplaincy school. I'm like, Lord, is that okay with you? The Lord's like, do it. So
Amen.
I go to chaplaincy school, and it's basically like first responding. And I believe in first response, like police officers, but just without weapons. So I go to chaplaincy school, graduate as the, not valedictorian, what do you call that, salutatorian. So I was second top in my
mm-hmm.
class, another 4.0 GPA. Shout out to Reverend
Osario,
who was my professor. Shout out to Chaplain Doris, you know, all the people that have
Amen.
Really led me in that way. And then after that, I was on fire. And then I went to Bible school, and that's
Amen.
When it hit me.
Amen.
I said, oh,
Amen.
Ooh.
Listen,
that's
woman,
when
of God, woman of God.
Everything,
woman of God.
Everything I
listen,
was like learning was wrong.
I hear you, woman of God. Listen. I knew we were not going to be able to get all of your story in one show. That's why I wanted you to just take your time and deliberate with us and share with you all the phenomenal things that God has done in your life. We're going to have to pick up on another broadcast and let my listeners know about all of the miraculous thing that God has brought you through. I had no problem with bringing you back so that you can continue on and share with us the beautiful things that God is doing in your life. But what I would like for you to do, if you would just let the listeners know how they can continue to follow you on social media, Facebook, as well as where your book can be purchased, and whatever you may have going on local there where you are in Los Angeles. I understand that we have this COVID-19 virus going on, but we do have disciplines and restrictions in place so that we can still fellowship to a certain degree because you're out there on the front line, even with the virus, and you may need some local help. So share with us all of your social media contacts. If you'd like to share a contact number or email address where someone in another part of the country can support you, contact you, make donations, let us know how they can contact you either by telephone, email address, all your social media contacts, Facebook, Twitter, and then, of course, where your book can be purchased. And then we'll be sure to bring you back so that you can continue to bless us with your life experience in God.
Yeah, I mean, I could be vague and give you straight answers, but that's just not my story. That's just my way. So
it's all good. That's why
yeah.
I said we can certainly
yeah.
come have you come back and continue where we left off.
Yes, glory to God. So Just People Ministries Global Outreach, we're a church without walls, and most ministries, when they're called, they go for the building, but we wanted to go for the people first, and that's how the Lord told me to do it. So our website is Just People Ministries with an IESFN.com, so that's J-U-S, people like the word, no T at just, or J-U-S, people, and then ministries at IES.com. Also, my former police partner, Sophia Jackson, she's in charge of our New York City location. And she's doing amazing things as well, also with her local church, Hunting for God. And then I have a Jacksonville location who's ran by Pastor Ezekiel Hutley as well. So, you know, we're doing it together. Every third Saturday of the month, we feed hundreds of people, and we lead them to Christ on the spot, delivering, killing, et cetera. So when someone donates, we have it down to a science that $1 can feed one person. So we're able to do that, and we're getting our first building in Los Angeles area. So when you donate, you're actually feeding people. And I know, like you said, there's a pandemic, but there's also a God. And there's also
That's
Jesus,
right.
and the blood still works. So I don't know, like I was serving the
Absolutely.
Homeless, I've never gotten even so much as a cold, you know.
Amen.
And here in Los Angeles, I have probably like two loyal people that serve me consistently. Shout out to Carrie-Anne Armstrong, who's basically pretty much led the volunteer efforts during the entire pandemic, and we've partnered with a couple of people. Shout out to Provis Group Inc. Shout out to all the people that just really help feed God's people. That's what we do. More money
Amen.
To feed more people. And even all my businesses. So I take 10% of any money I make from scripts, books, and I give it right back to the poor. And that's how it's been working
Amen.
For
that's
me. So I am the CEO as well. Of Scribe Conversion. We're a media publishing company, so I publish books, I write the scripts, the treatments, and I turn them into films.
Beautiful. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And we'll,
yeah,
and we'll, certainly,
see,
and we'll
yeah.
certainly have plenty to continue our discussion. The next time that you are free and available, we will certainly look forward to scheduling you for another time, because I know we have so much to discuss with you. I didn't want to try to rush you. I didn't want to try to cram it all into one show. So our prayer, woman of God, is for God will continue to bless you, cover you, keep you. Woman of God, Justina McFadden, we are proud of you in Jesus. We applaud your efforts and your desire to make Jesus Christ Savior known unto a world that needs to be saved. We thank you for joining us here on Fire the Gospel Experience. Keep us in your prayers. You are certainly in ours. We got nothing but Jesus love for you, and we pray that you will pray for us and give us Jesus love back. Woman of God, thank you so much, Justina
Amen.
McFadden. We love you in Jesus.
My pleasure. God bless you. Just find me on Instagram.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Awesome people of God that I've just been directed to this Fire Gospel Experience, and I would include you and you too to join us on this anointed breathe, fire breathe on ministry of Fire, the Gospel Experience. You can get in touch with me. I'm on Facebook, Ron E. Jefferson. Just send me a message, Brother Ron. I've heard that Fire Gospel Experience Ministry. I want to be a part of it. I have this burning in my spirit. Send me a message or give me a call. 870-413-0220 is the number to call. If I can't get right back to you, leave me a message. My plate is full, but I promise you I will get back to you. God got a brother busy. I need a whole nother set of arms or secretary too, or somebody to help a brother out, but it's all good. I will get back in touch with you. Or you could just get in touch with me by email, ronaldjefferson1@aol.com. That includes all you hardworking gospel artists, promoters, managers. Send me that MP3 music so that I can continue to bless your ministry by giving you that much-needed airplay, so that your ministry can thrive and be alive and go beyond the borders of your location, your city, your state, your town. This is worldwide ministry. We are following the commission that Jesus gave us. He said, go into Jerusalem, then Judea, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And guess what? That ministry of evangelism that the disciples started 2,000 years ago has reached us, and now we are in that chain. We are links in that chain to continue the evangelistic work of turning the world over to Jesus. Now, once they get the message, it's on them what they do with it. But I promise you, I'm like woman of God, Charmaine. I just want to be all that God wants me to be. Amen. Goes right there.
Woo! Sound real good, Super. Shoot, do, 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 do. Oh, yeah.
That just ran all through me. Lord have mercy. Woman of God, Charmaine, don't be so mean with your Jesus praise. Just love my people that love Jesus the way they do, the way they do. This is the Word Up segment of Fire, the Gospel Experience, where all of you blessed, anointed people of God that have a word of encouragement, inspiration, exhortation, to come on to this broadcast and share with us what thus says the Lord in your spirit. Now, if you're busy, busy, busy like a lot of us are, you can go ahead and take your cell phone recorder and record 3 to 5 minute inspiration and then email that to ronaldjefferson1@aol.com and then I can put it in my Word Up library until you're able to come and be with us live. Your word, your inspiration can be a blessing to countless other people. I'm blessed to be in kingdom collaboration with 6 national networks that syndicate this Fire Gospel Experience. So I want you to stop being selfish with your gift. I want you to stop being afraid and ashamed like what you have is not amount to much. I'm here to tell you God gave it to you, so you best believe that it means more than you probably given it credit for. But just like Woman of God, Scarlett Caldwell, television show owner, host at Christians Got Talent TV show on the Now Network, and soon to be expanded beyond where she is right now. I'm just going to let her share about that. She's going to share with us words of inspiration coming to us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My special guest for Word of Inspiration, awesome woman of God. She's been here before, and she'll be back again. Unless the Lord Jesus come back and rapture us then, I promise you, I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be up to glory with the Lord Jesus, woman of God, Scarlett Caldwell, for Word of Inspiration on this fire gospel experience. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Amen, woman of God. Welcome back to Fire the Gospel Experience. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you. I am great. Just to know that I have another day on this earth and to be able to, you know, make impact. You know,
amen,
the Lord
amen.
Lead me wherever he leads me to make impact.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every single day. I don't need no certain day of the week or nothing like that. Or,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm still vibing. I'm still vibing off of that resurrection weekend, off of that Passion Week, because we just focus in on that particular time about the commitment, the love, and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ like no other human being has ever done and demonstrated before. I'm just filled up with the gratitude that I have for my Jesus because he saved us. He saved us. He saved us from ourselves. So, woman of God,
yes.
I know that you are probably one of the busiest sisters I know in Jesus, and I'm happy for you. We're going to talk about what God is doing in your life. But right now, woman of God, we need for you to just bless us with some inspirational exhortation and word up. And I'm passing you the microphone and the platform, and then we'll discuss a little bit more about all the beautiful things God is doing in your life.
Yes. You know, I'm hearing in the spirit right now that this is war. But when I'm hearing this is war, this is me, this is the time for us to get up. Because what you just said, man of God, it made sense. It's no time to hold back our talent. It's no time to hold back the gift that's in us. It's time. And when you were speaking, man of God, I heard this is war. That means it's time to get up. It's time to make impact. It's time to be all that
that's
we
right.
could be, because each one of us need each other. You're right. We're networking, but we're networking also in the spirit. Let's get up. Let's make a move. This is the time right now, because what people don't understand is this is our season to prosper. This is our season to grow. And and sometimes we need to close some doors to be able to
get
the access door, the doors to be open. So when those doors close, don't get mad about it. Don't question God about it, because it needs to be closed. Because this is a new season now for greatness.
That's
this is a new season for great opportunity. And all I keep hearing is mega, mega, mega. It's big. If we put our mind to it, we put our spirit to it, we put our heart to it, and we put keep God first in all that we do, it's going to be big.
Come on.
So all I can say is it's time. It's time to walk. It's time to walk. It's time to walk it out. No more wishing I shoulda, woulda, coulda. No more talking about my mother and my father couldn't do it that way. My sister couldn't do it that way. I couldn't. It's time to walk. It's time to walk it out because God, it's so much greater than it in us. And if we sit down, you know, I made this statement today when I said failure is not the option, because if you choose to stay down, that means you want to stay down. It's time to get up now. It's time to make impact now. Pull out them old, I could say this, pull out the old pots of pans. Pull out that sewing machine. It's time. It's time. It's time. And stop thinking in the box. It's time to go make it now. It's time to get, it's time to grow. Some people right now have to stand still because it's time for us to make it. It's time for us to go. It's time for us to get out the box. But if we don't get out the box, that's because we let our own fear and our own doubt in our own self. So it's time for us
Come
to get
on.
Out the box now.
Amen. Amen. Tell the truth, woman of God. I hear you. You talking real good and you telling the truth. Amen. Jesus. Amen. I'm here as a living witness. The word of God tells us in Ecclesiastes to confirm what this woman of God just said. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So we need to go ahead and do like I've said, and just like woman of God, Skylar Caldwell has just told you, let's get busy. Let's do what it is that's in your spirit. You can't tell me right now that there's people listening to this broadcast right now that have a burning in their spirit, but they keep letting their own self doubt and low self and low spiritual self-esteem get in the way and convince them that they don't make a difference. They just are such and such. Ain't nobody going to believe it. You overthinking your salvation and your place in God. You need to be about the business of just go ahead on and follow that leading in your heart, because it's not going to go nowhere. Matter of fact, it's going to get more aggravating until you start following what thus says the Lord. Woman of God, listen, I know you're busy. I just need to get that out, because if somebody listened to this broadcast that needed to hear that exhortation and get busy for real. Tell us, woman of God, I have tagged so many of my gospel, independent gospel artist friends that listen to this broadcast right now. They're going to be listening to the replay over the last 3 years with this Fire Gospel Experience, and over the last 7 years of me being a radio internet host, I have been blessed with many, 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 many gospel artists. I'm tagging them. I'm sending them to you because you have this one particular ministry where you are letting people of God know about a platform called Christians Got Talent, and you just opened up Skylar Studio A. Tell us about those two platforms, and then give information about how my gospel artist friends can collaborate with you in a very kingdom and a very godly way so that we can glorify and honor God, and so that their ministries will have more substance than what it already does right now.
Okay. Well, you know, to start off, to say this, you know, for everyone that, you know, that know me here in Florida, I always put on events and shows, you know, showcases and award shows. But my thing was to make it big and make it bigger. And so my goal was to, for television broadcast, because one thing about me, I know a lot listen, they know Dr. Bobby Jones. That's one of the person that I could say that really taught me a lot, you know, and I followed him. I followed his journey. I also, you know, was on his showcase many a times and at his award shows. And I always said to my mind that if he could do it, I can do it. And that's always been my passion. And so when I was blessed to, you know, get this platform, Christians Got Talent show on the Now Network, I was so happy, because this is a great opportunity for me, not just for artists all over the world, just, you know, managers for their clients, you know, to perform, but also have the television, you know, broadcast to be able to be interviewed and shown on TV, you know, and what so many don't know, we're hitting towards TBN as well. And then, like I was just telling you, man of God, you know, we're trying to pick up a slot with BET. So I'm trying to open up many doors. I'm trying to open up many doors for the artists, you know, so they could come in and do what they need to do. And yes, Studio A is something that we in right now in Florida, so that if anyone wants to perform and, you know, want to, you know, come live, they could be able to come to Florida, you know, and hey, let's get on the air. You know, let's showcase your business. Let's showcase your ministry. Let's showcase your talent. Because this is what I'm here for.
Amen. And what is the process that they need to go through to qualify, to get in touch with you for Christians Got Talent and any other thing that you may have in mind in regards to Skylar Studio 8 or whatever it is that you have?
Yes. Once they contact me, you know, they will send me like a little bio or their music or material. Anything that they have, they could send it to me. I will review it, make sure that, you know, it's something that we'll allow on the show. You know, and once that's okay, I will contact them and I will let them know what steps to take, how they could get booked on the show, you know, and also we have the magazine, the television show magazine. They could be a part of that as well.
Amen. Lord Jesus, you go head on there with your bad self, woman of God, Skylar Caldwell. I'm so proud of you.
Thank
and Jesus. You are moving in a mighty way. God is using you. And that is evidence that if we like the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. God promised that he will pour out blessings so much for us, if we tried to press it down, shaking together, guess what? It'll still be running over in your bosom. You'll have to bless somebody because it'll be too much for you to even try to contain for yourself. You'll hurt yourself trying to hold on to all the blessings God will give you if you just be obedient to his word and obedient to his will. Woman of God, thank you so much for joining us. I pray that the rest of your day, the rest of your week, the rest of your life
indeed
be multiplied with blessings on
thank
top of blessings as you continue to do the work of the Lord. Looking forward to coming down to Florida one of these days, and I'm going to let you just show me all over the town, and I promise you we're going to have a good, good time in Jesus.
Thank
Woman
you.
Of God,
because we're not too far from Miami, Florida.
Okay, then, it's all good. Just let me know. I'm telling you, I will pack my bag and be on that first jet up out of here. You hear me?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We love you in Jesus. Looking forward to having you come back when you have time so we can sit and fellowship and then just enjoy all the good things that God is doing. You are a beautiful testament about God's blessings on our lives. Thank you for joining us, woman of God.
Thank
we love you in Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. So you might as well love
thank
us back and pray for us because ain't nothing you can do.
Yes.
Bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's talk about it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Y'all can hear it in her voice. She probably was doing about three or four things right there when she was on the radio doing her thing. But she stopped by to just fellowship with us on this fire gospel experience. I love y'all in Jesus. I promise you I do. Because I'm here to just make y'all known to the world. You don't have to worry so much about what God has in store for you, what God has next for you. Because I'm here as a living witness. If you would just follow God, don't get in the way. Humble yourself and be obedient to the will of God. He'll give you the direction that you need. And you'll do like man of God, Deontay J. Blunt, talking about, Lord, I just want more of you. Everything else is extra.
Come on, somebody lift your hands and begin to worship God. How many want more of him?
Oh,
one voice say, I just
prophesy. So I sat here and prophesied more miracles, more signs, more wonders, more healing, more breakthroughs, more, yes. Come on, company, open your mouth and say more. The sound in this place. How many want more from God? Yes. Come on, somebody raise it up. Come on, come on, come on. The more I praise God, the better I feel. The more I praise Him, the better I feel. Come on, musicians.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Joyce Kiwana Adams, your motivational empowerment speaker, entrepreneur, author, zealous trailblazer, and certainly a born-again believer of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Grateful to God Almighty who called me to celebrate who He is in the highest. If you're in search of someone who will speak life, love, spiritual healing, and deliverance into the atmosphere with the spirit of great worship, praise, and spoken word for your conference, revival, seminar, or fellowship, you can contact me by phone at 571-269-1378 or by email at joyuniqueness3@gmail.com. I'm encouraging you also to read my book, Out of My Pain, The Birth of Joy Uniqueness, for great spiritual insight, encouragement, and an uplift. You can order my book on amazon.com or you can contact me directly for your autographed copy. Also, please join me on my Anointed Spirit-Filled presentation of Unleash Your Uniqueness, which broadcasts on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live at Joyce Kiwana Adams. If you would like to be a special guest on this Blessed by God platform, then please contact me by email at joyuniqueness3@gmail.com. And you are listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the fire is moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I'm inviting you to let the light of Jesus the Christ shine bright in your life. So by all means, keep it tuned in and to Fire, the gospel experience, which will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Be a blessing to your family, friends, and co-workers by telling them about Fire on this station. Is all about kingdom building, blessings on blessings.
Lord, I ask for patience, didn't ask you for the test. I ask to be stronger, not to be put through all this mess. And I don't understand it, so can you explain why all the hurt and why so much pain? When you said draw close as you proceed, and you said push through, I'm here for you. There is no problem, no situation too big for me. I'm here for you, and I'll never leave. I'm feeling pressed, the walls are closing in. Don't know what to do, and I wanna give it. See, I can't understand it, so can you explain? Tell me why all the hurt and why so much pain? When you said draw close as you proceed, and you said push through.
done to fix me. Cause I'm here for you. And I'll never leave. I look to you for understanding. And I walk with you, my solid rock. You hold me up and you make me strong. And now I can see you were there all along.
Yes, Lord, there's no greater promise ever written down than when the Almighty God himself, creator of everything known and unknown, declares that he will never leave us and that he will never forsake us. Thank you, woman of God, Crystal Light, song entitled You Said. He said it, he meant it, he's God enough to back it up. You're tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. I told you we was going to give you this good biblical inspiration to keep you moving forward in your faith, and we are here to share with you words from Matthew 25 verses 34 through 40 with the subject entitled The Least of These, which reads, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We, as the very people of God, have so much to be thankful for. Not only are we blessed, no matter the situation, beyond measure, but we are destined for even greater things than this earthly journey has already provided. There will come a great day, beloved, when we all, and I mean all, talking about everybody, will stand before the Almighty One, He who is God, and there is no other. And He will pass judgment on how we chose to live our lives as believers in Him or unbelievers. Those who basically said there is no God. Verse 34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. God, who is our Lord Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, has declared that we provided the necessary food and water for him during our lifetime. Verse 36 says, naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison. Oh, Jesus, not prison, and he came unto me. And then God, our Lord Jesus, had declared that we provided him the necessary clothes, medicine, and hospitality and visitations when needed for him during our lifetime. Verse 37 says, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, when thirsty and gave thee drink, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And so we ask the same question. How is that possible, Lord Jesus, when you walked this earth over 2,000 years ago before we were ever even born? Verse 40 tells us, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. God, who is our Lord Jesus, second person in the Trinity, brings his observations to us, all of our lifetime decisions, choices, and the activities for those with and around us, those who had the very essential needs for living, or they lack food and water. Our God identifies so much equally with us, so that he is in similitude like the very same ones of those who are in need of our care during our lifetime. Now, that's mind-blowing. I don't know about y'all, but that's mind-blowing to know that our God has a unique symbiotic relationship where we are one, as he prayed in John 17 and 21, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So are we taking the time and care for those who had the least of food, least of medicine, least of clothing, least of visitors with hospitality? Listen, we intend church to be empowered to do so, that the world will have us as living, breathing, walking, talking testaments of God's presence in the world through us, talking about you and I. James 2 and 24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So I believe that our words, our testimonies, should lead us to works, talking about labors of love and evangelism. And our works, which are those labors of love and evangelism, will lead us to testify. We're going to walk this thing out. We're going to talk this thing out. And guess what? Our walking and talking is going to go hand in hand. And we're going to be bright and shining lights for our Lord Jesus. And listen, the whole story is this, because that's not the end. For those who have chosen not to be kind, caring, and a comfort to those who were and are still in need, Lord Jesus, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, in so much as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God has provided more than adequate notice and warnings of the pending reward and punishment, the consequences for the choices we make or decline. God told our forefather Adam to care for and replenish the earth, meaning that we are all responsible for God's greatest creation, which is us, who are made in the very image of God. And this alone, beloved, is caused to take care of everyone who God sends to us and to everyone that God sends us to. Amen. Talking about the least of these. What are we doing about them? I promise you, you can do something, and I'm sure you could probably do more. You tune in to find the gospel experience. Amen, amen, amen. Still celebrating my Lord Jesus and his resurrection every day. His man of God, Jason Parker, singing in such a beautiful way. I just had to play it right now, right now.
When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, I can't help but give him glory for always blessing me. Something about the way he showered me with grace and mercy, makes strength to go on. So I wrote it in this song. I gotta let you know that power in the name of
identify him as the only living hope for a lost and dying world. I want to thank my special guest, woman of God, Justina McFadden, author, filmmaker, CEO of Just People Ministry, doing a phenomenal work. Brooklyn girl out there in L.A., letting her light shine in Jesus, as well as woman of God, Skylar Caldwell. who is the CEO of Christians Got Talent and Skylar Studio. So this was like a broadcast for these amazing women that's in filmmaking, that's in media, at the top of what they do, because they have decided that they were going to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And look how God has blessed them. Amen. Goes right there. I want to leave you all with this final word. Changes. Changes. We can make temporary changes to make other people happy, but permanent changes come when we are unhappy with ourselves. Amen. There's no greater influence than the one that we come, that we get, that comes from within, because God speaks to our soul, and our soul speaks to our mind and our emotions, and then we find that we need to make the very necessary changes that God will have us to make. You can tune into my Fire Gospel Experience broadcast. I am on YouTube under Ron E. Jefferson, as well as Twitter, Ron E. Jefferson 60, or you can go to my Fire Facebook page and pull up all of my archive shows. You don't have to wait until Saturday morning at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Sunday, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today was a special occasion of taking like a little spring break so that I can continue to be fresh, that I can continue to be resilient, that I can continue to be creative and innovative for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not a sprint, beloved. Faith in Christ is a marathon, and the best ability is availability. And not only that, beloved, but we need to understand that the race is not given to the swift or to the strong. The race is given to those that endure until the end. So until next time, y'all be blessed in Jesus. If you want to support this ministry, you can send a gift of financial donation of any size to my Cash App, $RRON, $E560, and it would be greatly appreciated. We love you in Jesus. Pray for me. I'm going to love you and pray for you regardless. Ain't nothing you can do about it except love me back and pray for me as well. I leave you with my sister in Christ, woman of God, Louise Atwater, because the very day and time that Jesus rose from the dead is the same very day and time, eternally speaking, that he rose in my soul and made us all new creatures in Christ. Come on, woman of God, Louise Atwater, we bless you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And she's going to sing about just being grateful. Y'all be blessed in the beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus.
You can try. Come on, man.